Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla la wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya la wa nashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah wahdahu la sharika la wa nashhadu anna sayyidana wa maulana Muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim bismillahir rahmanir rahim thumma ja'alnaka 'ala shari'atin minal amr fattabi'ha wa la tattabi' ahwa'a alladhina la ya'lamun sadaqallahul azim. Alhamdulillah, all praises are for Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah has indeed blessed us with many, many different favors. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored us on the face of the earth by giving us Islam. فَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدِ أَوَّلًا وَآخِرًا. This way of life that Allah has given to us, which we follow and is known as Islam, it is one of Allah's greatest favors to man. After life, there is no other greater favor than that. It is a way of life that provides for us guidance. A guidance so that you and I will be able to know how to live as human beings. And most of all, how to live as created beings by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every single one to whom a favor was done owes gratitude to the one that has given him a favor. Everything that we have, everything we have had in the past, and every single thing we may have until the time we die, they have been given to us by Allah. They are being given to us by Allah, and they will continue to be given to us by only one being, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How ungrateful it will be from us that we turn our backs in showing our gratitude to Allah by worshipping Him. As it is always said, only those people will be able to recognize the true favor of light, those who were in darkness. As for those who are already in light, may not know the value of light above darkness. And if we look at the lives of the Sahabas radiallahu ta'ala anhum, we will see how much they appreciated the deen which Allah has sent for them, the same religion that you and I have been given by Allah. It is mentioned, after the first hijrah took place, the migration to Abyssinia, when a few of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after having been persecuted and tortured for a long while, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not being able to bear the sight of their persecution, told them, leave this land and go away. Go away. It's not easy. It's not an easy thing to see your beloved one suffering. And more than that, these people were only suffering on account of the fact that they decided to follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he could not bear to see them suffer. And so he allowed them to migrate, to leave Makkah. He said to them, in the land of Abyssinia, Habsha, there is a king who is just and fair. Go over there, take up residence there. So a few of the companions went there. But when the Quraysh, those who used to persecute them, found out that they have left the shores of Makkah, they started to go behind them. But they were not able to catch up with them until they had reached the land of Abyssinia. Being disturbed as to what they would do now, because they have reached their land already, How can we pull them back? How can we take them back? They have escaped our hands. So they made a plot where they will go to the Abyssinian king whose name was Ashama, the Negus. And they will try to lie to him. So they did that. They went and they made the complaint that, O king, O just king, giving him tuhfa and hadaya and gifts and whatever have you to bribe him. The king was intelligent. He was a righteous Christian king who afterwards accepted Islam. And when he died, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed the janazah for that king. Subhanallah. He is one and was one of such people who accepted Islam without meeting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahu Akbar. So they came and they said, O king, there are a few foolish people from our tribe that they have left us, run away to your land, and their family members have sent us to take them back. So the king summoned them and they asked them what was the problem, and they explained the problem, and the king said, okay, you stay here. They placed whatever had happened. But then they could not leave in peace, and they wanted to ensure that they got the objective, the purpose for which they came. They came back to the king and said, O king, these people have accepted the religion and they talk against Jesus and his mother Mary. The king was shocked because the king is a Christian. So the king summoned them again, and now Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, who was the spokesperson, he was sweating. He says, they got away the first time, now what? So he appeared before the king again, and the king started to ask them questions. But the point of this whole discussion here is to show how the Sahabas radiallahu ta'ala anhum looked towards that which Allah had given to them. Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, when he started to speak, he said to the king, he said, Ayyuhal Malik, he said, O king, Kunna qawman ahla jahiliya, we are a people, we belong to jahiliya, we are ignorant, we were ignorant, we lived in ignorance, having no knowledge of what is right and what is wrong, having no knowledge of what is good and what is bad, having no knowledge of what is clean and what is unclean. We just lived like that. We belong to jahiliya. This is how we live. Na'budul asnam. We used to worship idols. We used to worship stones and carved objects. Anything we will worship. No sense of who was our creator. No sense of the fact that we have to worship someone. Having no sort of discernment between who we have to worship and who we cannot worship. Na'budul asnam. And we state dirty things, carrion, dead. No concept, no understanding about halal or haram, good or bad, clean or unclean. We lived like that. We committed a lot of indecent actions. We had no way, no guidance, nobody to tell us what was good and what was bad. Zina, adultery, fornication, that was a normal thing for us. Marriage, that was way out of our minds. We had no knowledge about purity and chastity and modesty. Na'til fawahisha, we did a lot of indecent and immoral things. Wa naqta'ul arham, and O king, we used to sever and cut our relations. We had no sense of understanding that we must live as a family. We had no sense of understanding of how to keep the family ties. We lived like that, cutting, breaking, severing the family ties. وَنُسِيُّ الْجَوَارِ, and we used to cause a lot of harm and injury to our neighbors. That's the way we lived. وَيَأْكُلُ مِنَّا الْقَوِيُّ الضَّعِيفِ, and the strong people will exploit the weak people. They will oppress them. They were unjust to them. And in this way we lived. فَكُدْنَا عَلَى ذَلِكَ. This is the way we lived, O King. This is the way, this was our life. Fighting tribal wars. Whoever is stronger, he rules those who are weaker. No sense of justice, no sense of fairness, no sense of understanding what is right and what is wrong. We continue to live like that. Until at the right time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us from among our own self a prophet. نَعْرِفُ نَسَبَهُ. We knew of his lineage. وَنَعْرِفُ صِدَقَهُ. And we knew him to be truthful. وَنَعْرِفُ أَمَانَتَهُ. And we knew him to be trustworthy. وَنَعْرِفُ عَفَافَهُ. And we knew him to be pure and chaste. He told us what was right. He identified to us what was wrong. He told us to worship one God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He told us to stop worshiping these carved images and stones and all the other objects. He told us to be kind to our family members. He told us to be kind to our neighbors. He taught us about purity. He taught us about eating that which was wholesome and good and pure. We accepted these teachings. We followed these teachings. But when we did so, our own people started to persecute us and beat us and kill us out. And that is why we have come over here. The king then said, is there a scripture that has been revealed to you? He said, yes, the Holy Quran. The king said, can you then recite some verses of that Quran for me? Subhanallah. Ja'far ibn Abi Talib started to recite verses about Maryam, Mary, and Isa alayhi salam. Allahu Akbar. The beautiful passages about the miraculous birth of Isa alayhi salam. The beautiful passages about the purity, chastity, and the virginity of Maryam alayhi salam. While he was reciting, Allahu Akbar, it is stated that the king started to weep so much that his beard was wet and the chest was wet with tears. And all the Christians, clergy, and the other people in the palace, they all started to weep. They couldn't believe what they were hearing. After that, the king Ashama said to Ja'far, he said, the source and the light of these verses and the light of that which was revealed to Jesus and Moses is the same light and the same source. Go and live in mine place. Nobody can harm you at all. Subhanallah. That was the first migration. And what was evident in that is for, and it is about what Ja'far ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala and described to the king. My dear respected brothers and my dear sisters, let's look at what Ja'far ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala and said to the king. And let us shift Islam away from the world today and see if we are seeing the same thing that Ja'far spoke about. He said, oh king, we used to do this, we used to do that, we used to do the other things. But Allah blessed us. He blessed us with a way, teaching us that that was wrong, this was wrong. He asked us to shun all these different things and to adopt the path of righteousness and goodness. And we did that. We did that, O king. And it is for this reason these people started to persecute us. So the mafhum and the gist is that when we look at our deen, we will realize that that is the maqsad and the purpose of the deen and the religion we are following. Allah has sent this religion to guide us to that which is right, to tell us what is wrong, to stay away from that which is wrong. This is the maqsad. So that he will take us away from ignorance. He will take us away from those acts that are totally opposing to that which is good, and to bring us on a path of truthfulness, trustworthiness, and to make us good human beings and good believers. That is the maqsad. That is what Islam did to the Sahabas. That is what Islam is meant to be on the face of the earth, to take out people, as Allah says to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that, oh Prophet, I have sent this Quran to you so that لِتُخْرِجَ النَّاسَ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ, so that you will take people out of darkness and put them in light. That is the maqsad of the Quran. That is the maqsad of our deen. That is the purpose of our religion, so that you and I shall be guided in each and every single thing that we ought to do as human beings. And that is a very, very important thing for us to understand. In the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed His laws that are known in the Arabic language and in the context of the Holy Quran as the Sharia. The Sharia, the code of conduct, the law system in Islam, the law that governs our lives on the face of the earth. Everything we do, there is a law from Allah that governs that. Every single thing we do, we can do it right or we can do it wrong. Allah tells us what to do. Allah guides us. This is why, having revealed that law which is referred to as the Sharia, the code of conduct, the law system of Islam that we have to follow, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in the Holy Quran in Surah Al-Jathiyah, when He said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and by extension to the whole mankind, and especially to those of us who have accepted Islam, because we are the first sort of addresses of the Holy Quran, because we are those people who have Iman and Islam, Alhamdulillah. What is Allah saying to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and saying to all of us? Allah says, "Thumma, O Prophet, then, thumma ja'alnaka ala shari'atin min al-amri, O Prophet, and O mankind, O Muslims, we have made you a part. We have made you upon a path that is called the Sharia. We have made you upon a path that is called the Sharia." Then what does Allah say? O Prophet, fattabi'ha, you must follow this path. You must follow this path. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُ, and do not ever follow, أَهْوَاءَ الَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ, the path and the desires of those people who have no knowledge. I want us to pay attention to what Allah is saying in the Quran. This is a hukum and this is a law of Allah. Disobedience to the law of Allah makes us criminals in the sight of Allah, and we become fasik, transgressors and open sinners when we defy and violate the law of Allah. That is clear. If a person goes a little bit higher to say, "I don't believe in that ayah," or "I don't believe in that law," well, he is in kufr. He's outside the pale of Islam. So each and every one of us, it is important for us to understand the nature of the Sharia and position in the Quran and in the sight of Allah. Allah has given us a law for every single thing. The Sahabas lived in total jahalat, total ignorance. How to marry, who to marry, what type of marriage to do, they had no knowledge about this. They used to do mut'ah, temporary marriage. Go with a woman, give her something which they call mahar for the night. Next morning they will divorce her and they will leave. That was a marriage for them. They will travel to go to another city, meet a woman, give her some money, say, "I marry you," in the morning divorce her and they are going again. This was before they became Sahabas. They were Arabs, mushrikeen. This was their life. No sense of understanding of what is chastity and haya and modesty. When a woman's husband passed away, the husband brother will take over the woman and enslave her and take away every single thing, the house, the money, the trade, merchandise, everything, and the woman will not get a single dime, and the children will worse off than that. No sense of understanding of giving your close relatives something or leaving something for them. No sense of justice and fairness. Subhanallah. And these are a few things. And it continued in every step that they took. There was a way they lived, like how people live today. People are filled with greed. People are filled with craving. They are filled with lust for wealth to the extent that they will even beat their own parents. They will even oppress their own parents. They will even force their own parents to give them something. And they will take everything and then throw the parents because of the greed, because of the craving and the lust for wealth. That's their life. No sense of understanding of what position the parents hold in their eyes. People will live, a man has 10 children because of the fact that one of them was kind to him and remained until he died in the house. He will deprive 9 of them from inheritance and give everything to one person. Injustice and oppression. This is injustice and oppression. People will sell